Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. You know how sometimes things in an organization feel a little like, whoa, like everyone's going in different directions. And you know what I mean,
Oh
right?
yeah, absolutely. It's like herding cats sometimes. Everyone's got their own ideas and priorities, and it can be tough to get everyone on the same page.
Exactly. So today we're diving into that how to really nail marketing alignment in an organization, and not just like from a software perspective, but like how to get everyone truly committed to success.
Okay, now that sounds interesting because, we've all been in those meetings where everyone nods along, but then nothing really happens after it.
It's like that gym membership, you know, you sign up and never actually go. It's the commitment that's key. So we're going to use this Forbes article, Three Actionable Ways for Marketing Leaders to Drive Alignment, as our guide.
Cool. So who wrote this?
It's by Rekha Thomas. She's the CEO of Path Forward Marketing. And right off the bat, she makes a really interesting point. Alignment isn't just about agreeing on something, it's about being truly committed to making it work.
Okay. I like that distinction because agreement is easy, just nodding your head in a meeting. But commitment, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. And her first point that she dives into is about over communication.
Over communication. Okay. I can see how that might be important.
Yeah, especially these days, right? With so many organizations being super complex and many people working remotely or in hybrid situations, it's like you need to be extra clear and make sure everyone's in the loop.
Yeah, it's like trying to play a game of telephone with like 50 people. The message can get so distorted along the way.
And Rekha actually uses this term omnichannel to describe the approach she recommends.
Omnichannel. So like using every possible way to communicate.
Exactly. Meetings, Slack, email, you name it, even the company intranet, like using every tool available to keep everyone informed and on the same page.
Okay, I can see how that could be helpful, but I also worry about information overload. We're already bombarded with messages all day long. Could this make things worse?
That's a great point. And, you know, she even suggests something called a communication contract.
A communication contract. What's that?
So it's kind of like a two-way street. The company commits to consistently communicating through all these channels, right? And in return, the employees are responsible for staying informed.
Interesting. I have mixed feelings about that. On one hand, I love the transparency and accountability it could bring. No more I didn't know excuses. But on the other hand, I do worry about adding even more noise to the already chaotic information landscape.
I hear you. It's definitely a balancing act. You wouldn't want to be getting notified about every single minor update,
All
right?
right, it'd have to be really well structured and prioritized,
Yeah.
maybe even tailored to different roles and responsibilities.
Totally. It's about finding that sweet spot where the information flow is clear, relevant, and actually helpful rather than overwhelming.
Exactly. Make the noise into music somehow, right? So over communication, but with a purpose.
Exactly. Now, her second point focuses on finding that balance between inclusivity and efficiency.
Okay, inclusivity and efficiency. That sounds tricky. How do you get everyone involved without creating a bottleneck?
Well, that's exactly the challenge she addresses. You know, you want to involve the right people from various teams inside and outside of marketing, but without creating that decision-making gridlock.
Yeah, because too many cooks in the kitchen can really slow things down.
Exactly. And to tackle that, she suggests using this thing called the DASCI model.
The DASCI model. I haven't heard of that one.
It stands for Driver, Approver, Contributors, Informed.
Okay, and what does that mean exactly?
It's basically a framework for defining roles and responsibilities clearly at the start of any project.
Okay, so from the get-go, everyone knows who's doing what.
Exactly. So, for example, say you're launching a new product campaign, the marketing manager might be the driver leading the charge. Then you'd have the VP of marketing as the approver having the final say. And then you might have like product developers, designers, salespeople as contributors offering their expertise.
Okay, so it's all laid out who's in charge, who needs to be consulted, and who just needs to be kept in the loop.
Right. And then you'd also have folks like customer service being informed, so they're prepared for any increase in inquiries. Okay. I can see how that could really streamline things and prevent those endless email chains and pointless meetings.
Right. It's about having that clear roadmap for decision making from the beginning.
And avoiding those situations where people feel like they weren't consulted or that their opinions don't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When everyone knows their role and how it fits into the bigger picture, you're much more likely to get that buy-in and commitment we were talking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we've got over-communication and inclusivity with clear roles. What else does she have for us?
Well, her third point tackles something that I think a lot of us struggle with, especially in marketing.
Oh, okay, let me guess. Is it about data and analytics?
It's about the pursuit of perfection.
Perfectionism.
Yeah, that can be a real killer.
Right. And she argues that striving for perfection can actually be detrimental to achieving true alignment.
Really? How so?
Well, think about it. You can spend so much time polishing and refining that you miss opportunities to get your message out there and start learning from real-world feedback.
It's like that saying, done is better than perfect, right?
Exactly. It's about progress over perfection, you
Yeah,
know?
because while you're trying to make it perfect, the world keeps moving.
Exactly. And she emphasizes that instead of chasing perfection, we should focus on a shared set of outcome-based objectives.
Objective. So, like, having clear goals that everyone is working towards.
Exactly. And those objectives should act as a North Star guiding the entire team.
Okay, I like that analogy. So instead of getting lost in the weeds of perfectionism, you have that guiding light to keep you on track.
Right. And to make sure those objectives are actually effective, she
Yeah.
suggests using the SMART framework. You know, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Right. So it's not just like some vague idea of what you want to achieve. It's concrete and actionable.
Exactly. When everyone is working towards the same clearly defined goals, it creates a sense of shared purpose and helps to avoid those subjective debates about what constitutes good or successful.
Right, because good can mean a lot of different things to different people.
Exactly. But if you have those SMART objectives, everyone knows exactly what they're aiming for.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So we've got over-communication, we've got inclusivity with defined roles, and we've got clear objectives as our guiding star. What else is there?
Well, there's one more really important piece of the puzzle, and that's the role of leadership in fostering alignment.
Oh yeah, leadership. That's always a big one.
She argues that marketing leaders need to embody alignment themselves, you know, walking the talk and setting a clear example for their teams.
So it's not just about telling people what to do. It's about actually demonstrating those principles of over-communication, inclusivity, and objective-driven decision-making.
Exactly. It's about leading by example, you know.
Right, because if you're telling your team to over-communicate, but then you're being secretive and withholding information, well, that's not going to build trust or inspire commitment.
Exactly. It all starts at the top. You know, the
Well,
leaders need to set the tone and create that culture of alignment.
okay, so how do they actually do that? What does that look like in practice?
Well, she talks about a few key things. First, they need to be really clear and consistent about communicating company priorities.
Right. Make sure everyone understands the why behind their work and how it all ties into the bigger picture.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots for people, showing them how their individual efforts contribute to the overall success of the organization.
Okay, that makes sense. And what else?
Another important aspect is being inclusive in decision making. You know, leaders need to actively seek out diverse perspectives, listen to their team members, and create a culture where everyone feels comfortable voicing their ideas and concerns.
So it's not just about top-down directives. It's about fostering a sense of shared ownership and empowering people to contribute their best thinking.
Exactly. When people feel valued and heard, they're much more likely to buy into the overall direction and commit to achieving those shared objectives.
Yeah, it's like the difference between being told what to do and being invited to collaborate on a shared mission.
Right. And that sense of shared mission seems to be at the heart of everything she's talking about. You know, over communication, inclusivity, objective-driven alignment. It all contributes to creating a more cohesive and engaged team.
Exactly. It's not about checking boxes or implementing the latest software solution. It's about fostering a culture where everyone feels connected to a shared purpose and empowered to contribute their unique talents.
Okay, so let's bring this back to our listeners for a second. You know, we've talked about these three key takeaways: over-communicate, be inclusive without overcrowding, and use objectives as your guiding light. But how do these principles actually translate to their everyday work life, you know?
Well, I think it's about taking a step back and assessing your current work environment. Think about those projects where things are running smoothly and those where communication breakdowns or misaligned priorities are causing frustration.
Right. So if you're hitting roadblocks, maybe it's time to revisit those communication channels, clarify roles and responsibilities using a framework like DSEI, or have an honest conversation about whether everyone is truly committed to the same objectives.
Exactly. And it's also about taking ownership of your own communication. Are you being clear and concise in your messages? Are you actively seeking out feedback and diverse perspectives? Are you doing your part to foster a culture of transparency and collaboration?
It's about both individual responsibility and collective effort, right? It's about creating an environment where everyone feels empowered to speak up, share their ideas, and work together towards a common goal.
Yeah, because alignment isn't something that just magically happens. It's an ongoing process that requires conscious effort from everyone involved.
It's like tending a garden. You can't just plant the seeds and expect them to grow on their own. You need to water them, weed them, and nurture them if you want them to flourish. And the same goes for alignment. It requires constant attention, care, and a willingness to adapt to changing circumstances. Rekha has given us so much to think about today. It's been a fantastic deep dive.
I agree. And remember, alignment is an ongoing journey, not a destination. So keep those communication lines open, nurture those relationships, and never stop striving for that shared purpose that makes truly great things possible.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
So we talked about over-communication, right? And we talked about inclusivity. And her third point is about something that I think a lot of us get caught up in, like this striving for perfection. You know?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely fallen into that trap before, especially in marketing. Like, you can get so focused on making every little detail perfect that you forget about the bigger picture.
Exactly. And she actually argues that this pursuit of perfection can be a real obstacle to achieving true alignment.
That's interesting. How so?
Well, think about it. When you're constantly striving for perfection, you end up spending so much time and energy on those tiny little details that you miss opportunities to actually get your message out there.
Right. You get so bogged down in the minutia that you lose sight of the overall goal.
Exactly. And she emphasizes that time you spend seeking perfection. That's time that you're not testing and learning from real-world feedback.
It's like that saying, perfect is the enemy of good, right? Sometimes you just got to ship it and iterate based on what you learn. Right. It's about progress over perfection. And instead of chasing this elusive idea of perfection, she suggests that we should focus on having a shared set of outcome-based objectives.
Outcome-based objectives. So, like having clear goals that everyone is working towards.
Exactly. And these objectives should act as a sort of North Star for the entire team, you know, guiding everyone in the same direction.
Okay, I like that analogy. So instead of getting lost in the weeds of perfectionism, you have that guiding light to keep you on track.
Right. And to make sure those objectives are actually effective, she suggests using the SMART framework.
SMART. Okay, that rings a bell. Remind me what that stands for.
Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Right. Right. So it's not just some vague idea of what you want to achieve. It's got to be concrete and actionable.
Exactly. And when everyone is working towards those same clearly defined goals, it creates this sense of shared purpose. Yeah.
Like everyone's rowing in the same direction.
Exactly. And it helps avoid all those subjective debates about what's considered good or successful, you know, because those terms can mean different things to different people.
Oh, absolutely. What one person considers a success might be a complete flop to someone else.
Exactly. But when you have those SMART objectives in place, everyone knows exactly what they're aiming for and how to measure progress.
Makes sense. So we've got over-communication. We've got inclusivity with clearly defined roles, and we've got clear objectives as our guiding star. What else is there to consider?
Well, there's one more piece of the puzzle, and it's a big one. The role of leadership in fostering alignment.
Yes, leadership. That's always a crucial factor.
She argues that marketing leaders need to embody alignment themselves. You know, walking the talk and setting that example for their teams.
So it's not just about telling people what to do. It's about actually demonstrating those principles of over-communication, inclusivity, and objective-driven decision-making.
Exactly. It's about leading by example.
Yeah.
You know, actions speak louder than words.
Right. Because if you're telling your team to over-communicate, but then you're being all secretive and withholding information, well, that's going to send mixed messages.
For sure. It all starts at the top.
Yeah.
You know, the leaders need to set the tone and create that culture of alignment.
Okay, so how do they actually do that? What does that look like in practice?
Well, she mentions a few key things. First, they need to be really clear and consistent in communicating the company's priorities, you know?
Okay, so everyone understands the big picture and how their work fits in.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots for people, showing them how their individual efforts contribute to the overall success of the organization.
That's important.
Yeah.
Got it.
What else? Another crucial aspect is being inclusive in the decision-making process.
Inclusivity, yeah.
Leaders need to actively seek out diverse perspectives, truly listen to their team members, and create a culture where everyone feels comfortable speaking up and sharing their ideas and concerns.
So it's not just about top-down directives. It's more about fostering a sense of shared ownership and empowering people to contribute their best thinking.
Right. When people feel valued and heard, they're much more likely to buy into the overall direction and be committed to achieving those shared objectives.
It's like that difference between being told what to do versus being invited to collaborate on a shared mission.
Right. Exactly. And that sense of shared mission seems to be at the heart of everything we've been talking about, you know, the over-communication, the inclusivity, the objective-driven alignment. It all contributes to creating a more cohesive and engaged team.
Totally. It's not just about checking boxes or implementing some fancy software solution. It's about creating a culture where everyone feels connected to a shared purpose and empowered to contribute their unique talents.
Okay, so let's bring this back to our listeners for a moment. You know, we've talked about these three key takeaways: over-communicate, be inclusive without overcrowding, and use objectives as your guiding light. But how can they actually apply these principles in their everyday work lives?
Well, I think it starts with taking a step back and really assessing your current work environment. You know, think about those projects that are running smoothly and those that are constantly hitting roadblocks due to communication breakdowns or misaligned priorities.
So basically, identify what's working and what's not.
Exactly. And if you're noticing those recurring roadblocks, maybe it's time to revisit those communication channels or clarify roles and responsibilities using something like the DCI framework. Or even just have an open and honest conversation with your team about whether everyone is truly committed to those shared objectives.
Those are all great suggestions. And I think it's also important to emphasize the individual's role in all of this, you know?
Right. It's not just about the leader setting the tone. Everyone has a part to play.
Exactly. So ask yourself, are you being clear and concise in your own communication? Are you actively seeking out feedback and different perspectives? Are you doing your part to foster that culture of transparency and collaboration?
It's about both individual responsibility and collective effort, right? It's about creating an environment where everyone feels empowered to speak up, share their ideas, and work together towards that common goal.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, alignment isn't something that just happens magically. It takes effort.
Definitely. It's an ongoing process that requires conscious effort from everyone involved.
It seems like a lot of this boils down to trust, you know, like creating an environment where people feel comfortable speaking up and sharing their ideas without fear of judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about building that psychological safety within a team, you know, where people feel like they can take risks and make mistakes without being penalized for it.
And that makes me think about the role of leaders in all of this. Like, they really need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
Oh, for sure. It's one thing to say we value open communication, but it's another thing entirely to actually create a space where people feel safe to do that.
Exactly. And I think that starts with the leaders themselves, you know, being willing to be vulnerable, admitting when they've messed up, and creating a culture where it's okay for others to do the same.
Right. Because if the leader's always projecting this image of perfection, it sets an impossible standard for everyone else, you know?
You create that fear of failure, like everyone's walking on eggshells, afraid to make a mistake.
Exactly. And that can really stifle creativity and innovation. You know, people become more focused on avoiding blame than on actually coming up with new ideas and trying new things.
So, listener, think about your own organization for a moment. You know, where are things running smoothly? Where do you see those pockets of trust and open communication? And on the flip side, where are there opportunities for improvement?
Yeah, like are there teams or projects that are feeling stuck because of a lack of alignment? You know, maybe there's confusion about priorities or communication breakdowns are happening left and right. And maybe even more importantly, think about your own role in all of this. You know, are you doing everything you can to foster alignment within your own sphere of influence? That's a good question to ask yourself. Are you being proactive about communicating your needs and expectations? Are you actively seeking out different perspectives and feedback? Are you contributing to that culture of transparency and collaboration?
Because at the end of the day, alignment isn't something that just magically happens. It takes effort from everyone involved.
Absolutely. It's an ongoing process, a continuous journey of working together and adapting to new challenges.
Rekha has given us a lot to think about today. It's been a really insightful deep dive.
I agree. And I think the key takeaway here is that alignment is about more than just using the right tools or following a specific framework. It's about creating a culture of trust, open communication, and shared purpose.
And that's something that we all have a role in building. So as you go back to your work this week, think about how you can contribute to a more aligned and effective team.
Keep those communication lines open. Don't be afraid to speak up and share your ideas. And remember that we're all in this together.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.